خوف خدا و عشق مصطفی، علم و عمل اصلاح معاشرہ، فقہ شریعت و طریقت کا ہے مجموعہ مدنی مذاکرہ،
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. نبيت سنة الاعتكاف. Whenever you get the honor of entering a masjid, make the intention of i'tikaf. Intention refers to the intent of the heart, so you may make it in your heart that I make intention of sunnah i'tikaf. You'll keep getting reward until you stay in the masjid. Make sure you don't miss out on this reward. Remember that eating, drinking, sleeping, performing sahur, iftar, drinking zamzam water or water with dam, or eating niyaz in a masjid will only be permissible if the intention of i'tikaf was made from beforehand. If the food is presented before you, now you cannot make the intention of i'tikaf for eating. However, you can still make intention for a reward, so you may do so. You can perform some zikr, or you may send salat upon the Prophet 12 times. Now, you may eat, drink or sleep. It would become allowed. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wherever you may be, send salat upon me, as your salat reaches me. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, tonight is the 15th night of the month of Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani, i.e. Rabi'ul Akhir 1440 Hijri.
Numerous devotees of Ghawsul Azam have gathered in the global
Madani Markaz, Faizan-e-Madina, Karachi, Pakistan. Madani Muzakara is ongoing. Please ask questions. It's not necessary that I'm able to reply to every question and that too correctly. If possible, I'll try to reply. If you find me making mistake, then rectify me straight away. You won't find me beating around the bush or sticking to my opinion unnecessarily. Rather, you'll find me grateful to you whilst rectifying myself, inshallah. Azza wa Jal. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
I received a question. Do gemstones also have any effects?
Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi alayh, has stated that the gemstone called Aqiq is very blessed. It has many blessings. It is stated in a hadith, تَخَتَّمْ بِالْعَقِيقِ فَإِنَّهُ مُبَارَكٌ,
meaning wear a ring of Aqiq,
as it is a blessed ring. Mufti Sahib says that a silver ring
with the gemstone of black Aqiq is very good.
It is stated in some narrations that
a Yaqut ring
protects against plague.
In some narrations, it is stated that a Aqiq ring
removes destitution.
It is stated in Faizul Qadir that it is stated in a hadith regarding the Aqiq gemstone
that whoever wears it will receive every sort of goodness and the angels will love him. It is from its specialities that the heart stays at peace in front of the opponent and it stops the nose from bleeding. So, gemstones do carry effects. A hadith do mention about them. They do have benefits which Allah Almighty has kept in them. The effect is by Allah. It is only Allah who is the true and actual efficacious.
والله تعالى أعلم ورسوله أعلم عز وجل وصلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد.
We received a text message. If someone took false oath while holding Quran in his hand 3 times, question is, how can we guide such person? And please also explain how severe this sin is. جزاك الله خيرا.
T Taking an oath of the Quran makes the oath valid. However, saying something by picking up the Quran or having it physically there or placing your hand on it will not establish the oath. Fatawa Razavia, volume 13, page 574, it says, it is a grave and major sin to take an oath of the Quran on a false matter. And there's no harm in taking the oath of Quran for a true matter. If need be, one may do so. But it strengthens the oath immensely. One should avoid it without a severe need. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
MashaAllah. Madani Muzakara is showering his blessings. My question is, that was Ghawsul A'zam rahmatullahi alayhi an Arab or Ajami?
Ajami. A non-Arab person is called Ajami. Like us, we are Ajami.
My question in the court of Amir al-Sunnah is that how is it to eat the head of a fish? Is it beneficial to consume it?
If you're referring to the head of a fish, it's halal to consume it and is also extremely beneficial. And it's also beneficial for the eyes. There's also one Madani parable in this relation. The eyesight of a brother had fallen to minus 2.5 or minus 3. He was a student of Jamiatul Madina. So there's a booklet of Maktabatul Madina, Wonders of Fish, which he perhaps read. That booklet also mentions the benefits that the head of a fish contains. Basically, what you have to do is that you have to boil the head of the fish in water and then drink that water. So he started to drink that water in which the head of fish would be boiled. So gradually, his eyesight became completely fine and he got rid of his glasses. For once and all, no glasses anymore. Head of fish also increases intellect. This booklet, Wonders of Fish, wouldn't be too expensive either. It will hardly cost you anything. Please purchase it from Maktabatul Madina. It's good if a person eats fish once or twice a week. Some people don't eat fish at all. Fish has many benefits. But one wrong practice is that people eat it fried. What benefits will you get by eating it fried? You know, the oil in which we fry it is quite harmful itself, generally speaking. It kills its nutrients and many other benefits. So eating it fried will not give you much benefit. Rather, it may harm you. If you want to eat fish, then the best form of consuming fish is grilled fish. Not fried, grilled fish, which we normally barbecue and cook on charcoal. You have to put a little bit of oil in it, and inshallah, grilled fish will be very beneficial. People hardly cook it without frying, and then they add different spices as well. Now, the oil and the spices could reduce its benefits. As per one's need, one may add a bit of salt and spices, and then grill it on charcoal. Somebody told me that if a person has high cholesterol level, and he eats grilled fish on charcoal, and then get his cholesterol level checked, provided that the consumed fish is still in his stomach, then his cholesterol level would be normalized. That's how nutritious it is. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
If creditor is using delaying tactics, then what should a creditor do?
If he's reluctant in paying back. Yes, some people don't pay back loan after taking it, and unfortunately this is quite prevalent. So the one who's asking back for it sees that the other person is a poor person, then he should give him some time. And if the other person is not a poor person and he intends not to pay it back, well, you can't find about the intention, but he's just making excuses. Then the creditor should keep asking for his right. We won't, of course, encourage to fight or be physical. He should make efforts to get his due right through permissible means. He can also file a legal case to get back his money, and people do so as well. But one method of recovery is quite wrong, which is quite common in us. That, as in, what people tend to do is that they come into contact with hooligans and gangster type of people. Then those kind of people negotiate with you saying that we will take 50% of the amount that we recover. And now the person thinks that on one side I'm losing all my money. Instead, why not save at least 50% by using him? So they do this way as well. Then they threaten them, kidnap their kids, and other violent acts are also prevalent. So this method and approach is impermissible. However, he can file a legal case against him and claim it legally. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Abdul Aleem from India. Where is it mentioned to put Ahadnama and Shirya Sharif inside one's grave? Where is it written to call out Adhan on grave after one is buried? Deceased looks and hears everything. Where is it mentioned in Holy Quran?
Asking question in English. Where does it mention in the Quran? Where does it mention in the Quran to record your message through WhatsApp and send it ahead? Sending your question by calling in. Where does it say in the Quran? Seeking answer to your question through a TV channel. Where does it say in the Quran? Once you reply to these questions, then take the same replies on my behalf for the questions you asked me. The glorious Quran contains the mention of everything in it. Now, every single person is not competent enough to derive answers from it. So the questioner should at least try to make sure that he does not fall prey to satanic whispers. Try your utmost, try your best, but you will never be able to derive the method of Salah from Quran. There are 4 rak'ah for Salah in Isha. The whole Ummah is offering it. Show me one verse in the Quran that explicitly mentions this. You can never do so, as there's not a single verse in the Quran that explicitly mentions that Isha has 4 fard, Maghrib has 3 and Fajr has 2. It doesn't say anywhere. The Adhan that we call out, everyone calls out Adhan. Where does it say in the Quran regarding Adhan? So if you look into it further, you will find many similar kind of examples as well, for which you will not find verses in the Quran that explicitly mention about them. You'll find it through ahadith. And then, after ahadith, we then have the opinions of Aima as well, and then those of the mujtahideen. So there's a whole process to follow in this way. Now, the one who deviates away from that process is wrong. Everything is fine as long as we follow these processes. Those processes that have been accepted by the religious elite scholars of this ummah, accepted by all of them. And now if someone comes from nowhere saying that it's not like this, this is how it is, then we're living in a social media age. Everyone says whatever he wants to. They don't realize the consequences of misguidance that they're spreading. They will realize it once they're held to account for it, and that will be unbearable. Then they will come to know what they had been up to. Misguiding the ummah is not something very small which you can just ignore like that. It is a heinous crime. So one should refrain from these sorts of questions. Don't ask just for the sake of it. Having said that, it is also possible that the brother who asked the question perhaps was a bit confused. And now I'm hopeful that his confusion would have been removed based on the discussion we've just had. Allah willing. However, there is one principle. There is a saying of Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anh. He states, وَمَا رَآهُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنًا. Meaning, whatever Muslims perceive to be good is also deemed as good in the court of Allah Almighty. But Imam Ahmad Raza rahimahullah has mentioned in Fatawa Razaviyah that what Muslim over here means, he defines them as people of knowledge and piety. Meaning that the scholars, the righteous ones, the pious people, the noble people, whatever they perceive to be good, is also good in the divine court of Allah Almighty. Like you consume biryani considering it to be good. I won't say that biryani is considered good in the court of Allah Almighty. I don't know about it. But there will never be any objection on biryani. As in where in the Quran it talks about biryani? Where does it mention parathas? Now these pizzas that are seen everywhere, where did they come from? Whilst eating all these, you never thought about where does it mention about them in Quran? It states generally in the Quran, Kulu washrabu wa la tusrifu, meaning eat and drink and do not waste. So whatever is halal, consume it and refrain from whatever is haram. So we need to understand that. This is how these principles are laid down, and every single thing is not mentioned explicitly in the Quran. But in real fact, all the rulings have been derived from Quran and Hadith. It is the Quran that encourages us towards Ahadith. It says obey Allah and His Messenger, and we can obey the Messenger only after reading the Ahadith. Right? So this is the whole process. However, we cannot derive rulings from Quran and Hadith. It is the job of the elite scholars, grand scholars and illustrious muftis, they do so. And we follow them. Now, don't use your own intellect in this. We are not those who question, but those who oblige. We've held firm upon the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah. We have become firm and devoted followers of Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahimahullah. Alhamdulillah, they are our guides and leaders. And they will inshallah lead us to paradise behind the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
If husband pays mahar after some time has passed, then will he pay agreed amount or he'll have to pay some more?
He will give what was originally decided. Obviously, no interest will be added on top.
Muhammad Muzammil, how can a cold-hearted husband be guided to have feelings and emotions for his wife?
If the wife shows affection and fulfills his needs, then all will be fine. At times, the husband's not cold-blooded. The wife exceeds all the limits. Husband comes home and she complains about children or says, "Where's the shopping?" I remind you every day. You never remember it. Now let the poor chap at least come inside, relax a bit, sit down and give him a glass of water. Only after that, you'll find out whether he's cold-hearted or not. In this case, he'll obviously speak up too. Now, when he comes, if the wife welcomes him with a smile, she presents him with water, tea or whatever he wants. So if the wife follows this practice and greets him with a smile and affection, then he will change even if he was cold-hearted. So it depends on the behavior of wife as well. It's not just one-sided. She also acts cold-blooded. And even if he is cold-hearted, she still doesn't have the right of mistreating him or being rude to him. She has to treat him nicely. This will make the relationship last. Otherwise, it will break, which ruins the peace of a family. And make dua as well. And in case husband is actually like that, as in this is his nature and he doesn't bother at all with his wife, you will find such people who are absolutely cold-hearted. They just don't know how to smile. But even despite this, for a wife to abandon him, leave him just because of this reason isn't allowed in the Sharia at all. Because no matter how the husband is, whether he's a thief, alcoholic, gambler, whatever, now she's married to him. So she has to fulfill all his rights. That's not a reason for her to abandon him. She cannot liberate herself from those rights. الرجال قوامون على النساء. So men are guardians over women. The wife has to obey the husband. It is not the other way around, where the wife wishes for the husband to be her slave. The husband, of course, needs to look after her and fulfill her permissible needs and demands. That's a different thing. However, you demand for extra things in addition to those that are necessary upon the husband to provide for you, and then he should come home every day with a gift for you. He should order your favorite food every day. If he does so, it is good on his behalf. He should do these things. It's rewardful. But if he doesn't, then it's not wajib upon him anyways. That doesn't matter one way or the other. He keeps buying you new dresses and clothes all the time. And you keep changing different dresses every day. And the husband is cold-hearted if he doesn't fulfill this. It is not like this. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Can you please explain this couplet? کس گلستان کو نہیں فصل بہاری سے نیاز کون سے سلسلے میں فیض نہ آیا تیرا.
It means that all these spiritual chains of tariqah, this is according to my weak understanding, all these spiritual chains, every single one of them Imam Ahmad Raza rahimahullah has mentioned as a garden, portrayed them as an orchard, and every garden, every orchard is in need of spring. That's a garden's need. And the source of spring for all these gardens, all these orchards, is our Shaykh Ghawthul A'zam. As whoever becomes a wali of Allah attains blessings from his very court. So, in this way, every single spiritual chain of tariqah has taken blessings from our Shaykh, our guide, our master, Ghawthul A'zam, rahmatullahi alayh. Wallahu ta'ala a'lamu, wa rasuluhu a'lam azza wa jalla. وصلى الله عليه وآله وسلم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
If teacher becomes upset for some reason, what should a student do?
Well, he should fulfill his teacher's lawful requirement. If he's upset because you don't know your lesson, then learn your lesson. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
My question to my beloved Sheikh is that how is it to keep the feather of a peacock in the Quran? Because it is commonly observed, the peacock feathers are placed in the Quran for beauty.
There's no harm in it. It doesn't have any element of disrespect. We also did so when we were kids. However, placing a bunch of feathers is something different. Generally, small pieces of peacock feathers are kept in it.
Do we even get that by hard work, what is written in our fate?
Well, as for fate, it is also dependent upon other factors at times. For example, hard work. It's not like you sit idle beneath a tree and wait for the fruit to fall down with your mouth open. And what if instead of falling in your mouth, it falls on your head and bruises it? Falls on your nose causing it to bleed. So it's famous that making efforts contain blessings. And no one at all sits idle anyways. These are just new topics of discussion for social media users. They just need something new to post all the time. That's what they do. At times, this is just a rumor that they spread, and at times they fall prey to a whisper, which will not be resolved on social media. One will have to consult scholars for this. So, fate is of different types. Anyhow, arguing too much on this subject is quite risky. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد.
Muhammad Arshad Qadri is asking from Dera Alaya that a person is driving a car. All of a sudden, an animal comes in front of car and gets killed in an accident. Will that driver be sinful, or is there any Islamic ruling? At the end, dua is also requested.
Let's take the fatwa from Mufti Sahib. It's over to you now.
He didn't do it intentionally. It happened all of a sudden. As normally heard that cats get killed like this, as they come in front of car all of a sudden. Well, obviously, if it happened unintentionally, then driver will not be sinful. When it happens, person gets feeling of guilt in his heart. He remains worried and concerned. So, in that case, just to remove that feeling, sadaqah can be given.
And one should act upon the law of the land. Bumping into a camel will damage your own car as well. Camel is a tall animal. Yes, a person may pass away as well. So in the same way, generally, no one kills anyone intentionally. Murdering someone or assassinating someone is something else. We're not talking about that. The normal general accidents, they don't take place intentionally, but since the element of negligence is found in them. Hence, even for this, there are certain punishments in place that a person has to face. For example, there's killing by mistake and killing by purpose. For instance, a person shot an animal to hunt, but it shot a person by mistake, and the shot person passed away. He was not killed intentionally. This killing is called killing by mistake. There are punishments in place for this kind of killing as well. This of course grieves a person and he regrets over it. One should be cautious and should not kill intentionally.
One Islamic sister is asking a question from Karachi. In winter, women wear cold weather hats. What would be Islamic ruling to wear such hats? Please guide.
If it implies imitating men, then the Sharia wouldn't allow it. As generally, men wear hats.
I mean, if it is a woman's hat, meaning from its look and its color, it is known as woman's hat. Let's put it this way, that if any man wears it, then people will say, why are you wearing woman's hat? It is possible that there are different cold weather hats for men and women. I think I also mentioned this before too, that nowadays there are different companies, they are making unisex clothing, which are suitable for both men and women. Now, here comes another question. If something is not specific for men and that is used by both men and women, in this case, what would be Islamic ruling? Please guide us. Jazakallah.
Well, in case the element of imitating each other is not found anymore, then it's fine. Well, nowadays, women even wear jeans, tucking their shirts in. What will be the ruling on this when they do so? Well, the sin of immodesty will be there if that is the case through her clothing. What else?
It's not just style in which men and women look and dress in a similar way. That's a different aspect. In addition to that, other factors are also considered. If a pious woman wears that hat and remains at home, it's different. Whereas going out while wearing that would be different. Women must avoid to look like that woman who is sinner. And such dressing should also be avoided, which allows unveiling.
I am from Majlis-e-Tajiran.
and I am a teacher in Madrasatul Madina Balighan. My question is that I go to different factories to teach Madrasatul Madina Balighan, but there are no proper arrangements for wudu there. So can Islamic brothers read the Madani Qaida without being in the state of wudu? Please provide guidance in this regard. Jazakallahu khaira.
If you don't have to touch the Quranic verse, or you don't have to touch right behind where the Quranic verse is written, or you're teaching by heart, then you can do so without wudu. In fact, even if you are leading his class without wudu and you don't need to touch the Quran, then it is permissible. Touching the Quran without wudu is not permissible. And if these are alphabet letters, alif, ba, ta, they can be touched without being in wudu. Alif, ba, ta, sa, jim, all these letters. These are called the mufradat letters, the Arabic alphabet.
Meaning, wherever Quranic verses are mentioned, one cannot touch that place and exactly behind that. Otherwise, if someone picks up Madani Qaida without wudu, that's allowed. It is better to pick with any piece of cloth, scarf, or if you're wearing gloves, it's better to pick like that. But remember, if one picks directly, it is allowed. One won't be sinful.
However, even with the glove, one cannot touch Quranic verse without being in the state of wudu. Neither right behind it, nor the translation of that Quranic verse in any language. You can't touch it without wudu, not even with a glove. This is when you are wearing the glove. Now in the case you are not wearing it, you have taken it off. And now you use that glove to pick up the Quran or touch the Quranic verse. And no part of your hand or finger is coming in contact with it. And you're holding it or touching it with the glove, then it's permissible. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. We have received another question that if someone marked with pencil on a waqf donated Quran, then in that case, what shall he do now?
He should erase it as well as repent, as he used it in an impermissible way. And when you erase it using a rubber, it damages the paper. It leaves a mark. And at times it even scratches the paper. And rubber severely damages the shine of the paper. As in wherever you rub off the mark of a pencil. But if someone looks closely and attentively, he will find out that something was written over here. What else do they call a rubber nowadays? There's another name.
Eraser.
Eraser. We just used to call it rubber. That's what it was known as. That's what it was called before. And now eraser. New term of new era. We should use those terms that everyone understand. Calling it eraser is not a sin. What's the point of saying something that you do not understand? Always use the terms that are understood by the public. That will be more fruitful in conveying your message. You will find many such examples in our society that are quite common and prevalent. So try to go by this approach. Rubber or eraser, use whatever is common. So I would go by whatever is commonly used by the people out there in society. Now, Tippex is also used to rub off. It rubs off pen writing as well. Not rubs it off, actually hides it.
Yeah, just hides it.
And it leaves a quite big mark. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Saying of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
La ilaha illallah al-halim al-kareem. Subhanallah rabbi al-samawat al-sab'i wa rabbi al-arsh al-azim. The one who recited this dua 3 times in the night, it is as if he found Laylatul Qadr. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
Al-Halim al-Kareem.
Al-Halim al-Kareem.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
Rabb al-Samawati. Al-Sab'i. Wa Rabb al-Arsh al-Azim. La ilaha illallah. Al-Halim al-Kareem. Subhanallah. Rabb al-Samawati. السبع ورب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم سبحان الله رب السماوات السبع ورب العرش العظيم صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
سيدنا عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما states that he who recites this dua 3 times upon leaving a gathering, his sins are forgiven, and he who recites it in a gathering of
well-being and gathering of zikr. For him, khair, i.e. well-being, will be sealed upon. Let's recite it together. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
خوفِ خدا ہو عشقِ مصطفیٰ علم و عمل اصلاح معاشرہ
فقہِ شریعت و طریقت کا ہے مجموعہ مدنی مذاکرہ